Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew 25, verses 14 through 28, and invite Alice Ann to share that with you and invite you to rise in body or in spirit for the reading of God's word.
This is a story about investment. It's also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one, he gave $5,000. To another, $2,000. To a third one, $1,000, depending on their abilities. Then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same. But the man with the single thousand dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. After a long absence, the master of those three servants came back and settled up with them. The one giving $5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment. His master commended him. "Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner." The servant with the $2,000 showed how he also had doubled his master's investment. His master commended him. "Good work, you did your job well. From now on, be my partner." The servant given $1,000 said, "Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent." The master was furious. "That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take the $1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most, and get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on a limb." This is inspired word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I've written and presented sermons 4 or 5 times, usually around once a year or something like that. And Jennifer's noticed that I'm a little light when it comes to scripture references in my talks. And in fact, one sermon I wrote didn't tie into the scripture reading of the day. I'm not sure how I got away with that or if anybody noticed for that matter. But today is a new day. This is a reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, and the compassionate in cheerfulness." This is from Paul's letter to the Romans. In these verses, Paul refers to the church as the body. Like our bodies, which are made up of individual parts, the church is also made up of individual parts, you and me. Okay. I don't know. Paul states that each of us have gifts, and we need to value and use those gifts for the benefit of others. About 37, 38 years ago, I discovered woodworking. I'd moved from an apartment into a house and discovered with all the extra room I had that I needed a coffee table. I didn't have much money in those days. So I decided I would see if I could build one. So I went to the library and found a book that had some woodworking plans in it for a contemporary coffee table. I had some pictures to go along with it that were very helpful. This table was made out of 2x4s, 2x6s, and 2x10s, and it had a glass top with no drawers. I was able to build it. It turned out okay, and I used it for a couple of years. And that was my start with woodworking. My Uncle Morris was one of the funniest people I've ever known, a joy to be around, and an excellent woodworker. Whoops, I gotta turn this on here. Maybe. Yeah. This is the wedding present he made Jennifer and I 28 years ago, a rolling pin made out of a variety of different kinds of wood, all put together and spun on a lathe. And it hangs in our kitchen today. He was an inspiration for me to try more projects and to improve the quality of the finished work that I do. And by the way, please don't refer to a woodworker as a carpenter. Which he didn't do, but I'm saying we got a good point. He's got a good point here. Some woodworkers will consider that an insult. According to the Cambridge Academic Content Dictionary, a carpenter is a person whose job is making and repairing wooden objects and structure, just like Brian said. Woodworking is an activity of making objects, especially furniture, from wood. Carpentry and woodworking are both valuable occupations and require a specific set of skills, but they are hardly interchangeable. You wouldn't want me framing up your house, and you wouldn't want most carpenters building your furniture. Now, for those of you who learn better visually, a carpenter may do this. A woodworker would do this. Carpenter. Woodworker. Okay? Make that separation there. Here are a few additional items that I've made over a few years just to give some examples of other things a woodworker may do. It's mostly just to boost my ego. This is actually a nutcracker, a little toy soldier nutcracker. It kind of splits in the middle, and you could break a nut with it if you wanted to, but it's mostly just for visual stuff. This is a marble tower. Runs marbles, go down two different paths and things, and go all over the place. This is a top thing is a musical instrument. It's called a bowed psaltery. It's got strings you can play, kind of like bowed psaltery. The bottom is a little truck there. This is a lighthouse that I made. Jennifer, if you've been to her office, you know why that happened. And this is a little bear chair that I made for our daughter Callie when she was 2 years old, or thereabouts. Little claw paws on the arms there, too. Kind of neat. Probably build another one for a grandchild in a couple of years. Now, prior to serving in Tipton, Jen served as a pastor in two churches in the Cedar Rapids area. The Bertram Church is the one that I attended, and it looked like this from the outside, just a basic, straightforward building. And it looked like this from the inside, which is kind of hard to see, but hope you get the point. The altar on the back wall there, which is tough to see, but is basically a formica table attached to the wall with a cloth on it. I don't know if you can call it an altar or not, but they did. After a couple years of looking at this, I decided I had the talent to make an improvement. And I subscribed to a few woodworking magazines. I receive catalogs from woodworking suppliers, and I get woodworking patterns and things like that. And one pattern I admired was this one. Kind of hard to see, but it is of the Last Supper, painted by Leonardo da Vinci in the late 15th century. This painting of this is, there you go, is, I'm going to put that back for a second. This painting, it's the picture back over there for that matter, is painted in the dining room hall of the convent of Santa Maria del Grazi and is roughly 15 by 29 feet. So it's a big painting. Da Vinci wanted to capture the moment just after Jesus revealed that one of his friends would betray him. And you can see the reaction of shock and rage from the disciples. Interesting fact, in 1652, a doorway was added to the wall, that's what I'm going to show you here, that holds the painting. Its construction meant that the lower middle section, which includes Jesus' feet, was removed. Like, whose idea was that? I don't know. Let's see, what's my next one? That woodworking pattern that I showed you before was an intarsia of the Last Supper. An intarsia is basically a picture or design created by using small colored pieces of wood. This intarsia pattern was said to be around 800 individual pieces. I didn't bother counting them. So I purchased that pattern that I had shown you before, and I built it, and it turned out like this. The individual pieces were cut on a bandsaw and then shaped with a Dremel, hand-shaped and sanded with a Dremel. I had an altar in mind that would have this Last Supper intarsia on the front of it. I met with the worship committee at the Bertram Church and showed them the plan that I had designed. I said I'd build the altar if they would purchase the cherry wood for the case, but warned them that it would take about a year to complete as I no longer have a heated workspace for the winter. I'm guessing there's about 500 hours of work in this altar here. And when it was completed, of course, there it is. After the altar was complete, we had a discussion about replacing the cross that was on the wall above it. And I guess they trusted me after doing this because they pretty much let me do what I wanted to do. I had an idea about the cross, type of cross I wanted to build, and realizing that we all have imperfections, I wanted the cross to reflect that. So instead of making the cross in the shape of a T, I made it in the shape of a Z. Now, it's a joke. Seeing if you guys are still listening or not. I used some power tools only to cut the inner lap section of the T, and also to remove some of the outside corners. But everything else to shape the cross was done with either a mallet and chisels, like that, or a variety of different hand planes, also called block planes. These types of tools. The hand plane peels off really thin strips of wood and leaves a nice smooth finish. And when it's done, it looks like that. You really can't tell from very far away, but it's not perfectly shaped like most things are. And it was done intentionally that way. So there are two final pieces that needed to be replaced. And I don't know if they asked me or if I volunteered, but their pulpit and lectern were next. I had a vision of an intarsia on the front of the pulpit that would be the Methodist cross and flame, like on a brick wall. And so I drew that up and put that together. Struggled for an idea for the lectern, but came up with, reduced a size of an angel intarsia I had made for my daughter years before. And when everything was done, it looked like that. And so we kind of changed things around a little bit for the folks in Bertram. Everything we have is a gift from God. The gifts we have received are not ours alone. God gave them to us for the purpose of serving Him and serving others. Each of us has something to give. We can give our money, our time to charity. We can be a friend to someone who is sick or lonely, or do volunteer work. There are many opportunities for you to get involved through the church and the community to make a difference. Some of those opportunities here are to serve at shared blessings, help with Sunday school, make a commitment to volunteer on a mission trip. In our scripture reading today, the parable of talents, Jesus taught that we must use our gifts wisely. In Jesus' time, a talent was a large sum of money. And now this was a more modern day version where it referred to $5,000 and $2,000. But he gave out talents before leaving on his journey. And a talent was about 80 pounds of silver. So he gave one servant 5 times 80 pounds of silver, another 2 times, that sort of thing. And that was considered a talent at that time. Two of the servants used the money wisely, probably worked hard and took some risks to earn their income for the master. The third did nothing but bury it, return, dig it up. And the master was unhappy with the effort. In this parable, the master represents God, and the servants represent you and me. The English word talent, meaning our natural abilities, evolve from this parable. And that makes sense, because the lessons of the parable is that we must use our talents and abilities, as well as our financial assets, in God's service. Each of us has unique talents and abilities. Consider for a moment the talent that went into this church. Some folks created the design for the church, inside and out, stained glass. The organ and the sounds created by it. Creative people wrote the lyrics and tunes for the hymnal. Talented people created the roads that got us here. It doesn't matter whether we have been given great talents, abilities, and wealth, or very little. I think what matters to God is that we make good use of what we've been given. Because a talent is useless if it's not used. The essence of Christian life is obeying and worshiping God and helping others. God has given each of us important gifts for these purposes. Like the three servants in the parable of the talents, our gifts may be large or small. But no matter how large or small our talents, abilities, and wealth, we are required to put them to use. Now, there are many of you here who participate in making this church successful. Helping in the office, teaching, playing music and singing, audiovisual, children's sermons, all those things. You make this church successful. Your staff can't do it alone. So thank you. And now I get to ask the tough question. And I can do that because I'm a guest speaker who doesn't have to answer to anybody. Sorry. For those of you who have not found your niche, my question is, what are you going to do? And not the person next to you, what are you going to do? Now I imagine some of you are thinking, okay, big guy, what are you going to do? Right? Well, last March, some of us participated in a mission trip to Louisiana to help some folks whose home had been flooded. We have another trip planned, or will be planning another trip, I guess, in late spring, or late winter, early spring, something like that. And I plan on going on that trip. And I hope you'll consider going too. I found that I enjoy the people of Louisiana, and I think you will. Now, I'm fortunate that I've worked for the same employer for 30 years, and I've earned a lot of vacation time. I know it's not that way for everyone. But you don't have to commit a week of your time or sign up for something that you have to do every week. Helping out with an event like Vacation Bible School is something you can do to make a difference. And as you heard earlier today, it's Sunday through Tuesday, 3 days. So I ask you to take some time over the next few days and consider what you can do to help others with your talent. And then just do it. And please pray with me as we close out here. God, help us to recognize the talent we have and then give us the opportunity and the desire to put it to good use to help others. Amen.